As we're not going to show the other piece of video, Mr. Dermot, could you give some more detail of what's actually to be seen on the home video, as it were?
Three incidents that are covered on that. One of them was, it was a report to Essex Police of noise and disorder in the smoking area.
Sorry, Mr. Dermot, before you go on, sorry, Chairman, could you just confirm the dates of these as you go through it? Thank you.
So it's through in accordance with the statement. Okay, so the first one that I've seen was the 16th of February. Two local residents call Essex Police about shouting and screaming by a male and a female in the smoking area at the Warwick. A video recording was taken by a local resident that I have seen, and the visuals are really quite poor, but what you can hear is the confirmation that there was a lot of shouting and a disturbance in the smoking area. There appeared to be half a dozen or more in the smoking area, and I could hear a woman shout out of the group quite clearly for them all to move away from the area as it's covered by CCTV. And obviously we're not able to hear that. Police officers later attended, but these people have been moved on by door staff, and there were no reports made to the police. When I say no reports made to the police, I mean crime reports. So there's no crime reported. So just a call for service received from local residents. The second one is the 24th of March. The incident was first reported by a local a resident local to the Warwick, and there were a further three reports from other local residents. These are in Victoria Road. They are reluctant to appear as witnesses out of fear of retribution and have concerns for the safety of themselves and their families. That is something quite different to, they haven't had any direct threats made to them. This is about perception. Mm-hmm. So this is their perception. I've managed to speak with three of the four people who contacted Essex Police and confirmed that the persons connected with this incident were connected with and returned to the Warwick following the disturbance, because naturally that is a line of inquiry when I'm speaking to the residents. Are they or are they not connected directly to the Warwick? Were they coming back from the kebab shop or Witherspoons or somewhere else in the high street? But they were able to confirm that these people were coming from the Warwick.
Are you saying that the actual smartphone recording shows people going back into the Warwick?
I can see at the end of it they're going back into the Warwick.
Right.
Yeah. I can't see where they come from. You can see the doorman moving from the smoking area along to the front entrance on the high street at the junction with Victoria Road. I can't see where they come from because the quality of the recording is quite poor. But you can see at the end of it, they go back into the Warwick at the conclusion.
Would it be fair to say they're going in, not necessarily back in, if you don't know where they came from?
They're going in would be a better phrase. I can't confirm back in because I can't see where they come from. So they are going in.
So they're going in.
Whether they're going back in.
We don't know whether they're going back in or not.
I can't confirm that. So the disturbance consisted of fighting in the main high street to a point where traffic is prevented from moving. You can see quite clearly in that one, one male removing his shirt, as they do sometimes in preparation for a fight. And there's considerable shouting and swearing, which is quite audible from the location where it was taken from, which is quite a distance. And the incident lasted for about 10 minutes. Police later attended and were told by the door supervisor, because there was nothing to be seen at that time, but told by the door supervisor that nothing had happened at the Warwick and that there may have been a couple of people arguing in the high street a short while previous. So there was no other reference to any other disturbance that might or might not have taken place in the high street. So I've seen that video footage. I've seen the person taking off his shirt. it is quite grainy to start with, so I can't see where they come from, but I can see that they do return to the Warwick. The video footage was taken of the incident, which was taken from inside residential premises, which, although not good quality, showed the person with the shirt off with others in the high street and at least one person returning back into the Warwick via the main entrance. That's the entrance on the high street with Victoria Road. Victim been assaulted, so that's the one you've just seen. And we've got another incident of reported by a local resident of 20, it was alleged 20 persons fighting outside the pub.
This is the 22nd of April one.
This has moved on now, 22nd of April.
Right.
Was another incident where...
Which is recorded on the mobile phone.
Which is recorded on the mobile phone, where a local resident... Sorry, I'll correct myself at that one. I haven't got video footage of this one. This is taken from the incident itself. So this last incident is not covered by CCTV or a smartphone, but I have got a copy of the incident recording to Essex Police.
Just to clarify...
But it wasn't 20 people.
My note is that when you talked about this initially in your evidence, you mentioned the 22nd of April incident.
Yep.
You said residents were saying there were about 20 people fighting outside,
yep.
But when you looked at it, you thought there were only 8 or 10, so it must be recorded on...
Some
footage somewhere.
It does imply that,
certainly. Because you said, no, it's not 20, it's probably 8 or 10.
I think that there is no... I don't think I've got CCTV footage of that. I'd need to replay that to see that. But the police attended about 15 minutes later and spoke to 3 members of the public, so unconnected with the Warwick that happened to be in the high street. They confirmed there had been a disturbance, and it was those people that said there was nothing like 20 people.
Right.
There were half a dozen or so, but there was nothing like 20.
So it wasn't quite as large. So it's come down from 8 to 10 to half a dozen.
Sorry?
you're now saying half a dozen people and not... 8 or 10.
Well, I wasn't there, but it wasn't 20. So it was only at least half of that.
So in fact, what you're saying now is on the smartphone there are only 2 incidents recorded. The one on the 16th of February and the one on the 24th of March.
Yes, there are 3 clips, and I think if I recall rightly, 2 of the clips relate to the second incident.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, before we go on to closing statements, does anyone else have... Mr. Hawkins?
Sorry, yes, just can I ask a couple of questions on that? You say that the 2 incidents you described, or 3 incidents, are in the high street. Are they actually directly outside the Warwick or directly outside the cab offices or the kebab shop?
You can't see the kebab shop from the location that
okay.
this was taken from. One of them shows the smoking area at the back of the Warwick.
Okay.
And the other one points from the same premises, but points within Victoria Road, points towards the front door.
Okay.
So you can't see into the high street,
okay.
the taxi office, the kebab shop, but you can't see any of that.
Okay, well, just one more statement to you as regards. We saw the footage on there of somebody throwing a punch, which was inside the Warwick. Nothing different to what is on EastEnders probably every other week, but I can't see why that would stop Andrea being a fit and proper person to be a DPS. You know, she came straight down from upstairs, stood behind the bar, and nothing else happened in there. So it's an incident of violence in the pub, but I don't see why Andrea should be criticised for anything wrongdoing in that incident.
I just through you, Chairman, I just wanted to ask the applicant a few questions about the CCTV footage that we've just seen. I note your comments about EastEnders. I can only presume I drink in the EastEnders Southminster. But anyway, I mean, I'm interested about what was actually going on. You know, there was clearly an altercation between three people.
That was an assault.
I'm sorry, can I finish my question? And there was clearly an altercation, because I want to be sure that I saw it properly. There was clearly an altercation. Some people moved away. I presume that that was your bar manager that went round the bar. And then I saw that a punch was thrown. And then I saw you by the bar. I couldn't see if you were saying anything because you had your back to the CCTV. So I'd be interested to know what you were saying. I'd be interested to know what happened to the perpetrator and the victim, and whether or not you can confirm who shook whose hand at the very end of the CCTV when there was a handshake over the bar. And I also saw that I think it was the perpetrator who handed back something to a third person that I couldn't see. It looked like a bag or a wallet or something. So I'd like to know the answers to those questions. And I've also got a question to Mr. Dermot about it as well, but I'll come back on that in a moment.
Right, well, it happened, it was a Sunday evening, my night off, and I was upstairs. Obviously, I left my bar manager down there, and then I was sitting up there, and I automatically could hear a bump, so I come downstairs. The time I got down there, it had stopped. The bloke had come in. Obviously, I asked what was going on in the pub. I said, what's happening here? What's happened? And they said, a fella's just come in off the street. This is what my manager, the barman, told me. A fella just come in off the street, kept following, going behind this other fella, and they was trying, and he was trying to get a drink off of him. He kept asking him for money for a drink. So the barman had then said, look, leave, to the fella, please leave the premises. And he turned around and said, I'm not leaving, I'll do what I want a drink. And so then the other bloke got annoyed with him, and that's how that happened. And the rest of it, like the shaking of the hands, when I come down, I was shouting, what's going on here? You can get out. I don't know, none of this to go on. Get out of my pub, is my actual words, is what I say. Get out of my pub, that's enough. And I said, make it up before you leave. They shook hands, and I said, right, when you've calmed down, you can leave. You leave first to the other fella. And I said, are you okay? Is any damage done to you? And he was fine. There was no cuts, no bruises or nothing. He'd already been thrown out of the road, pub across the road. He then went back to the pub across the road afterwards. So.
There were several questions when I put the other one. Sorry, it's for the benefit of the tape, which I hope so. The perpetrator, what did you say to the person that threw the punch?
I told him he was barred, and he's barred still to this day.
So
I let him sit down, calm himself down, because I didn't want him to go out the pub at the same time as the other fella who'd done all the annoying. So I let him sit down for like 10 minutes. Then I said, right, now out, I don't want to see you no more. And he's never been back to the pub.
And that's correct to this day?
That's correct to this
day. Okay, thank you. I've got a question for Mr.
Go on.
Yep. We all know what a difficult job it is to run a public house and how things how things happen very, very quickly. But how would you expect Mrs. Saffield or her bar manager to have acted differently to what they did? Because, you know, at the end of the day, it's a very dangerous job running a pub. You know, from what I saw, we didn't have the benefit of hearing the conversation. There wasn't a huge amount of aggression. People weren't nose to nose. It just almost happened spontaneously. And the people did move away. Something must have made them move away. But I just wondered, how would you expect a licensee to behave differently to what actually went on there?
It's not perhaps so much about the prevention, because I do accept that preventing that might have been nigh impossible. The victim appears to leave of his own accord. Who that was at the end that shakes hands, I don't know. You were there and I wasn't. But it certainly appeared to Essex Police, and I've never had a conversation with Andrea about this, but it certainly appears to Essex Police that the aggressor was left standing at the bar to finish his drink. And I've had no conversation about the fact that he'd been barred. But that would have been my response. The victim has left, and he, at the end of the day, irrespective of his what he's saying, he is the victim. Things weren't clearly that amicable when he left, because he then goes on to three other locations where we get reports to Essex Police and him making an allegation of an assault, which would have been slightly out of character with somebody who's just shaken hands and agreed to go their separate ways. That he then goes to three separate locations and calls for the assistance of Essex Police. But I can't say who that is in the video who shook hands, because I can't say who that person is. I would have expected both parties to have been banned, presumably been the victim because of his verbal behaviour, which we can't hear, and certainly the perpetrator, but I wasn't aware that he had been banned
I've listened to both of what you've said, but you know, I think that various pubs have various policies about that moment where you tell somebody that they're barred, and if you can calm them down first, I think it can be better. So I think perhaps, a big guy, I wouldn't like to have gone round there and said to him, "You're barred." I don't know how differently you could have dealt with it.
So the only thing I would add to that is that our objection isn't based on one incident alone. This is the sum of incidents, the sum of intelligence, the sum of occurrences, not that one particular incident.
That is the example that you're using. So, as far as we're concerned, that is evidence that we will have to discuss later.
Yeah.
Okay, Mrs. Saffle?
I'd just like to see more examples, because that is the worst one that's been in since I've been the DPS. Because, like you say, they were shouting outside. I go out there and I say, "Be quiet, please, for the neighbours." But when you've got, like, a pub, any pub, go out the back of any pub you want, and people do talk loudly. You can't say whisper. You just can't do it. It's impossible, and there's no pub that does. And like you say, then places in Chompson that have got no reports against them, they've got no neighbours. I've got neighbours, and yet I'm in the high street, and I have neighbours. And yet all the rest of the neighbours along that street, except for one, since I've closed that back door, I've all on saying it's done. You've done brilliant. It's so much better.
That's a bigger crime intelligence report.
You say crime, but tell me them.
Not reports of noise. We don't report that.
Well, what are the crime reports? Just one, and one of a loud shouting. Is that a crime? Who's your intelligence? Number 7, number 9, which one?
That they're not. They're obviously not going to say obvious reasons.
But all the rest of them down the road.
And anyone concerned about retaliation is not, I think, is not necessarily concerned about you or anyone else from the pub. If it were me, I'd be concerned about retaliation from drug dealers. So I don't think anyone's saying that's what they're worried about. The one person we haven't heard from is our environmental health officer, who I think I've just taken by surprise. Is there anything you can add to that for us?
Jim, perhaps let me say one thing. Forgive me. Before we hear from the environmental health officer, the only grounds on which there can be an objection to a DPS are on the grounds of crime and disorder. So any evidence that the EHO brings must be related not just to noise, but to disorder. And that disorder can include wider things than just an assault or drug use. But simply loud noise in itself may not constitute disorder.
Okay. Do you have anything to say? Helpful?
Not in relation. I mean, we may get complaints about loud music from the pub. I have had text recordings, which obviously aren't relevant to this hearing, but obviously to the one in Ipswich. They relate to loud music. There is one reference to a girl fight on the 26th of the 5th, about 10 o'clock, which I suppose could be described as disorder, but the others mainly relate to karaoke, which isn't part of this hearing.
I just wondered if the council had been contacted over the incident of the 16th of February, where it's been alleged that there was a lot of shouting and screaming going on. I mean, are there any complaints to the council in relation to noise generated by human activity?
Well, since 2018, we've had 27 separate complaints, not just from one person, I might add. Some of them do relate to disturbance, noise in the street from shouting and people in the rear area shouting and that type of disturbance. But I can't pin down one specifically because I don't have that information in front of me.
Okay.
So, and just more specifically, since December, could you confirm how many complaints have been received since December?
Well, as I say, we didn't have any after. We didn't have any further ones in December. I think the residents saw Christmas as a free hit, and then since January 2018, we've had 27 complaints, mainly about loud music, but some also relate to disturbance from people shouting and fighting, allegedly.
Right. I think unless anyone has anything else they need to say, it's time to move on to closing statements, in which case we would start with the interested parties and then finish with the applicant. Is everyone all right with that? And Mr. Dermot?
Can I just answer that? About the loud music, the loud noise. I always have the music off by 11:30 now, and every other neighbour, it's just one neighbour who's really got it in for me, would be the 27 complaints. Honestly, the music is off by 11:30, and we only have karaoke once a fortnight on a Saturday evening. And we don't even have a DJ on a Friday night. We just play the jukebox on a low level now. So we're doing everything we physically can, and we don't ever have live bands or nothing like that. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Where the banging and the crashing would drive you mad if you live nearby. I just try to do everything I can.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Thurman, you've got a closing statement.
The only thing I can say in closing...
The only thing I'd say in closing is that the decision notice issued by the licensing subcommittee was the action plan that we expected to be put in place in order to reduce the reports of crime and disorder at the premises, and designed to address the licensing objectives. And if that decision was not accepted by the applicants, then Essex Police are faced with little choice but to object to the application on the grounds that the objectives will continue to be undermined, as we say, is evidenced by the continued number of intelligence reports and the crime reports and calls for service that we've experienced since the hearing. And that would be our submission, Madam.
Thank you. Mr. Southall, closing statement? You're entitled to do that.
Thank you. I think this is this whole hearing is to determine whether Andrea is a fit and proper person to be a DPS, and I see no reason why it shouldn't be so. She's quite clearly in control of people in her pub, and I don't see why she's not a fit and proper person to do it. I've seen worse, a lot worse.
At this point, I'm going to adjourn. It's simpler for the members to go into another room rather than clear the chamber, although obviously feel free to come and go and get coffee and so on. We will take as long as we need, but no longer. I can't give you a time yet. We will be asking Mr. Quelch to come through and advise us on our decision and how to phrase it and so on, but it will be our decision, not his. So thank you very much.
Chairman, do you want me to come now or later?
Now. Please, and as it does seem we're going to miss the 12 o'clock, obviously I invite you to take part in the minutes silence, but we're unlikely to be here in the meeting while that happens. So thank you, everyone. I adjourn the meeting at 11:48, whatever it is.